When it comes to building a business online, we are surrounded with the idea that the only way to be successful is to hustle our way to the top and bug everyone we know. It doesn't have to be that way. My name is Brooke Elder, and after 10 years of direct sales experience and training over 10,000 consultants, I have learned that being an authentic influencer is the key to success. I am on a mission to help you find your influence so that you can start blessing the lives of others. Join my team and I as we talk about new ideas, strategies, and tips on how to build a purpose-driven business that is authentic to you. Hey, authentic influencers, we are here on episode 80, and I am so over the moon excited about this episode. It is been so fun to interview all of these amazing people and get their perspective on what it's like to run their businesses. And this one is one that you definitely do not want to miss. It's going to be amazing. We are talking today about how you can be a high performer at any stage of your business. And it doesn't matter if you're just getting started or if you are a leader and you've been doing this for a long time and you really want to be a high performer. And a high performer is, that's like kind of a big term that's in the network marketing world and in the entrepreneur world of like people who they just bring their A game in every aspect of their business, in their business, in their life, in being a mom, being a dad, having their kids, like all of these things that you can really be a high performer. You can bring your A game no matter what hat you're wearing. And I love this idea because there's so many people that I've talked to that are leaders in their company and they look like they have it all together, but then their family life is falling apart and their kids tell them like, when are you ever going to get off your phone? Cause you're so addicted to that. And like all of these things that their health may be falling apart. And because you're successful in one aspect of your life, we really want to be successful in all aspects. And so today we're going to talk with Mike and he's going to tell us some of the ways that he helps his clients to be able to do that. So great, great information is going to help you to be able to do that in your business as well. So super excited to dive in. First, I do want to do a shout out to one of our listeners. This is to Jonas Mom. And this is what she said. Listening to the podcast has got my mind crazy brainstorming. I love how real and authentic you are, really. And you've helped me to be true to myself no matter what. Truly inspiring. If I ever wanted to invest in a coach, it'd be with Social Tenacity, hands down. So, so grateful for your kind words. And I'm glad that this podcast has helped you to give you permission to be your true self. Because that's what this really is all about. It's being authentic to who you are. Be your true self. You have so much to offer the world. You don't need to be anybody else. You don't have to follow other people's systems to a T and do things that are maybe a little spammy or they feel inauthentic or you do something and you just feel like you need to take a shower after. Those are not things that you need to do to build your business. You can build a business based on your own authenticity and what you have to offer. And if it doesn't make you feel good while you're doing it, it's not something that you should do. So I'm so grateful that this has been helpful for you and hopefully continues to be helpful with you on your journey in your network marketing business. All right. So who's ready to learn how to be more productive in their business and how to really be a high performer? Let's dive into our interview with Mike, and he's going to share some real truth bombs with you. Hey, authentic influencers. I am so excited to be here with Mike. Mike, I don't even know how to say your last name.
Sesniak.
All right. I was going to say it totally wrong. So excited to be here with Mike. We connected a couple weeks ago, and I just love hearing his story and everything that he is all about. If you are looking to be a high performer and to really like get stuff done in your business, like Mike is the guy for you. And he has such an interesting story. So I'd love for you to just let us know kind of where you came from and how you got to be where you are.
Yeah. Brooke, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to jump in. Yeah, I think I do have a fairly interesting story. And, you know, if you look at what I'm doing now, and then you go look at my LinkedIn profile, you'd be like, how the hell did those two dots get pieced together? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? And it's just really like, it's been this culmination of this huge journey. And I'd like to think that it like really, it started in my like college search, right? It was entirely based on where I could play soccer. I had no idea what I wanted to do other than I wanted to make a boatload of money so I could retire young and start a pit bull rescue foundation. That was all I cared about as a kid. And a guidance counselor said, hey, you're good at math and sciences. Why don't you take a look at engineering? I'm like, do they make a lot of money? Cool. Awesome. Sign me up. Got recruited by a really good engineering school, played 4 years of college soccer. That's the team right there for anyone watching the video. And never looked back and started in the engineering program because it was easier to start there and transfer out than vice versa. And never scared me away. So I ended up with an engineering degree, jumped into corporate America in New York City, and did the whole scratching and clawing my way up the corporate ladder for many, many years. And I spent about 5 years at my last company before I took my coaching consulting business full time. But that was one of three businesses that I started while I was there, and tested a bunch of different things. Everything played its own little piece in my journey and in the highs and the lows. But it's kind of all come to fruition in this business that I've been blessed to be a part of for many years. So yeah, I'm excited. Now, like you mentioned, I'm in the high performance space. I serve a lot of business owners, sales pros, agency owners, entrepreneurs, help them get hyper-focused on what makes the money and then scale production and performance around those. So we can make more money, have a bigger impact without the anxiety, the stress, the overwhelm, all the things that, you know, we think come with scale. So that's what I'm doing now. And I'm happy to jump into whatever's interesting for you of that journey and you think will be valuable for your audience, whatever we want to jump into.
Well, I love that you help people with scale to not be scared about it. Like, I remember when I first was like starting to recruit people onto my teams, and a lot of them were like, well, I don't want to be leaders because I don't like scale scared them, you know? And so I know you were in network marketing, like kind of what was your experience with network marketing and building a team and things like that and helping them kind of get over those hurdles?
Yeah. So network marketing was one of those other two businesses that I started while I was in corporate. And it was a really, really fun journey. Frankly, I wasn't very good at it. It was, but it served its purpose, right? Because it got me around people that I could build relationships with, learn from, get connected with the resources and the events and the books and the podcasts and all these things. And it started that journey for me. I got to start to learn like what it took to actually build a business. And it's interesting, like even to this day, I feel like I'm looking at what I'm doing in my business or looking at what I think will get me a certain piece to the next level. And I look back and I'm like, huh, that's what I used to do in that space, you know? So it really is much more similar to all business and entrepreneurship than we realize while we're in it, I feel like.
Right.
But I know you agree with this. Like, it's like the entry level entrepreneurship I view it as. So it was a huge piece for me. I did well enough to make a decent amount of money. Well, not really a decent amount, but make a bit of money, you know, earn my way onto the incentive trips and all that sort of stuff. But really it was about relationship building and growing as an entrepreneur and as a person for me in that space.
Awesome. So what were some of the things that like you've taken from that experience that you're still applying today?
Yeah. So on a personal level, like the community that I was a part of, and I'm pretty sure this is just ubiquitous throughout the industry, but it was very like personal development heavy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you got to grow into the person that deserves to have that team and deserves to have that income. And that's a huge lesson. It's like super, super important. And to this day, like my library is my most prized possession, which is hilarious to me. If in college you told me I would like own this massive library, then I would have laughed you out of the room and like that would have been it. You know, I was that kid that hated, to this day, I don't really like reading. I just like getting the knowledge. But I was the kid that had to learn how to take the SATs because I read too slow. So I had to know what questions to guess on. Right? So I wouldn't waste too much time and I could finish the whole thing and make sure I spent the time on the questions I would be able to answer, AKA the easy ones. So like I never would have thought it would be like this, but that undoubtedly started, well, it didn't start there, but that took it to the next level. You know, I started reading shortly before that, but it was really in that environment, that community, that team that I was a part of that really pushed the specific types of personal development, learning about entrepreneurship and growing into that leader that has served me invaluably.
So do you find as you're working with clients now, because like being an entrepreneur can be a very lonely road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because your friends don't understand what you're doing. You're kind of like on this island doing your own thing. And at least I found in network marketing, even though you were being an entrepreneur and pushing yourself out there, you still had like your upline, your downline, your sidelines, like all of you had this like community around you to help support you. Do you find that your clients now, that's still like, that's something that they struggle with that they don't have that like network marketing provided for you?
No. Okay. I think that, and I'm sure that that does happen. I think that whether it was subconsciously intentional or not, I've always found my way into communities.
Okay.
And like found a way to invest in the high ticket masterminds and get around the people that have what I want or can teach me what I need to do to get there and start to level up my association so that when I inevitably, one, they can get me thinking bigger, right? And call me out when I'm not. And two, when I am thinking bigger and I inevitably hit those lows, then they can help like help lift me back out and support me. I think my clients are fairly similar for the most part. And maybe that's just because like you attract, like your vibe attracts your tribe almost. So like what you're doing, people are attracted to and similar people are attracted to. But I think it's such an important piece. And I think that in a way, I think network marketing is such a good example of that because like the pushback you're going to get in that industry is pretty much worse than most other levels of entrepreneurship.
Agreed.
For the most part, like, oh, you're one of those things, or, you know, like, oh, it's one of those things where the top makes all the money and this and that. And man, yeah, I've been through the whole, like having to remove friends on Facebook because they were, you know, literally like making jokes publicly, tagging the CEO of the company I was a part of and tagging the 6-figure monthly earners that were mentoring me for free, right? Like, making a mockery of it publicly. I had to remove them at times because they were crossing lines, and eventually they made their way back into my life when, you know, frankly, they grew up a little bit. But if that's going to happen from the people that you love, imagine what the people that don't love you are talking about. So I think at the very least, that high level of adversity really, really arms, it either gets you out of the game real quick, or it really helps you build that bulletproof armor so that when you inevitably experience it in other vehicles, you're going to have it as well. So you're going to be able to survive it. So I think it's valuable. It sucks, but I think it's valuable.
Agreed. Sometimes we have to go through the suck to get for really sure. Like a thick skin to be able to push through. Cause being an entrepreneur it's hard. Like it's not the easy road, but nothing that's worth it is ever easy.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, well, I'd love to hear a little more about like what you do to help people when they get in those moments where they're stuck, because your clients come to you, you know, and they want to reach the next level and they're stuck on something. So like, what are some of like the tools or the tactics that you use to help them get to that next level?
Yeah. Yeah. So typically when people come to me, they're doing really well. Maybe they're making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, you know, 150, 200, whatever it is. And they're doing really well on the outside. People view them as a high performer, high achiever. They're crushing it. But internally, they know that they want to get to that next level, right? And they feel like they're the bottleneck. They feel like there's way too much to do. There's not enough time in the day. All these things that we tell ourselves. And they feel like they need to get more done. Like they got to do more to get to that next level. And in the high performance world, we really focus on a couple key areas. So there's 5 main pillars when I'm working with a client that we'll really dive into. Clarity, energy, courage, productivity, and influence. Now, clarity is the cornerstone habit. I always joke that it's like, think of a rising tide. A rising tide lifts all boats, right? But when the tide goes out, the boats go down too. So that's kind of clarity. Clarity is the rising tide. It's that source of amplification in either way. When you have clarity, everything rises. So it's the most important thing. Next one is energy. Like that one's straightforward, I think, for most people. When we have these big audacious goals, we need to have the energy to show up powerfully. Like I needed to generate energy to show up on this and make sure that I was my A game so I could be best of service to you and your audience, Brooke. And similarly, you needed to do the same to make sure that we were going to have an amazing conversation. We were going to create amazing content. And whoever's listening to this, like, first of all, you're not listening to podcasts like this if you're not trying to grow, like you're not trying to do something amazing. So whatever it is that you're doing, you've got to generate energy to do it. Next one's courage. You mentioned it before, like we're trying to do these, get uncomfortable to do these amazing things. It takes remarkable amounts of courage, and high performers just demonstrate a lot of courage. So that's the third thing we work through. Next one's productivity. Productivity is my baby. It was like my gateway drug to high performance because I didn't realize that I had no idea what it was. I thought it was being productive, checking things off a to-do list, getting things done. I didn't realize that doing things didn't matter if the things I was doing didn't matter, right? So that's the next one. And then the last one's influence. High performers are just remarkably influential for the people in their lives, whether it's their social media audience or their downline or their family or their team members or clients, like whatever it is, they're remarkably influential. So we typically dive into those five areas. And then there are subsidies around each of them that we specifically will dive into. But that's kind of where we start to build this well-oiled machine that is high performance. You know, and by the way, I always love to define it because I went through some branding nightmares around what high performance was because I'm a power lifter. So people thought like, you're a fitness coach. Not true. High performance, when I'm saying that, I really define it as succeeding beyond standard norms consistently over the long term while maintaining positive well-being and positive relationships. Because we all know that person who has that pinnacle of financial success in our eyes, but personal life is falling apart. Their personal relationships are falling apart. Their health is deteriorating, something like that. High performance is creating this well-oiled machine that is firing on all cylinders, creating the success that we're striving for, but doing so not at the expense of our health, not at the expense of our relationships, all the above. So we typically dive into a lot of those areas, and there's plenty that you probably want to dive into in some of them. But yeah, I think those are the five areas that we dive into. For me, the biggest are clarity, energy, and productivity. Those are probably the most actionable immediately, but whatever's valuable, we can explore.
Yeah, let's talk about productivity because that's something that, like, for me, I'm really passionate about too. And I'm one, like, I love lists. I love getting things done. And I find that a lot of our listeners and clients that when they first come to us, they are so busy doing so many things for their business, but nothing that they're doing is actually moving the needle. Yep. So like, how do you help people to decide like, what are the things that are actually going to move the needle? And what are the things that, you know what, this actually isn't that important. Let's push it to the wayside.
Yeah. So there's a couple really good practices and I'm happy to share some of them. What I want to say is, I think it makes sense for us to talk about clarity and productivity together, because at the end of the day, productivity doesn't matter if we don't have clarity on what's worthy of our time.
Absolutely.
Right. And all that really is asking better questions, right? And we'll explore some of those questions as I dive into one of these practices, but that's really it. Like, I love that you mentioned lists because to-do lists are such a good tool. Problem is they become very, very vicious really quickly when we start to populate them with the stuff that doesn't matter. For example, here's why they're valuable first. Let's start here. When you check somebody off of a to-do list, it literally triggers a dopamine hit. It becomes addictive, right? Like, we're getting stuff done. And this is why clarity is important, because we need to make sure what is on that list deserves to be there. But that addiction, that addictive part is also dangerous, right? Because if anyone's ever done a to-do list, if you're listening to this and you've done a to-do list, you've done this before. And if you're saying no, you're lying to yourself. We have all written something on that list that we've already done just so we could check it off, right?
Yep, I've totally done that.
Exactly. Me too. And we're human. It's okay. But like, that illustrates how powerful this little dopamine hit can be. So here's why it's amazing. When we have that clarity, we're asking those powerful questions and we're really auditing what we're doing. We know what deserves the time, what's worthy of being on that list. So then we can leverage that dopamine hit and actually use it to fuel us towards working on what actually matters. So There's a great book called Eat the Frog by Brian Tracy. It's full of so many amazing tips and tricks, what I would call like productivity hacks, I guess. But my favorite one, and something that I always use with a lot of my clients, is something called the Law of Three, which basically means if we were to look at the things that we need to do, like if we don't do them, they don't get done and our business falls apart. Like our responsibilities, and this works for your job too, by the way. There's a caveat there. Like we're going to go into elimination and delegation, and it's a little different when you got a boss. Like double check it with them before you start eliminating stuff. Like don't DM me saying you lost your job because Mike said to eliminate something. But the same thing applies over there. If we go to map out all those things, there's usually about 7 to 10 items on that list. Stuff that if we don't do, they don't get done and everything implodes. Now, the science has shown that the majority of those results, about 90% of those results, come from just three of those actions, right? So if we were to really map it out, we have that list. We then just filter that list with one simple question, which is, if I could only do one thing on this list that would give me the biggest results and have the biggest impact on my business, what would it be? And you circle it. And you ask that same question again. If I could only do one more, what would it be? And then a third one, one final one, what would it be? You circle those three. Those are the three where we really need to be spending our time. Those are the three that are worthy of being on that list. Everything else on that list, the data has shown that it needs to be either delegated or eliminated. Now, there's going to be a time and a place in your business where that might not be possible. But at least now you have the lens to look at things through where you're like, I need to start pulling in the reins a little bit on some of those other activities until I can afford to outsource it. Or maybe ask some better questions and like, how can I afford to outsource it? Right? So that you could free up your time on the revenue generating activities. So really, really powerful practice. It takes, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to do, but gives you really good clarity on where you should be spending your time on how you could really drive that needle forward. Because, and here for anyone that's numbers people, like I'm an engineer, I love numbers. So at the end of the day, let's assume a perfect world, right? 10 items on this list, time is evenly distributed in our calendar. So that's each action gets 10% of our time. According to this data, 30% of our time is then yielding 90% of our results, right? So if we eliminate or delegate the other 70% and populate the rest of that with those 30% actions, all of a sudden, and you can put pen to paper on this if you want, correct my math if I'm wrong, but that's about 300% of the results, right? So we're talking about tripling our results by actually doing less. So take that for what it's worth, but that's a really good practice I love to take my clients through.
I love that. Well, and I think especially when I first got started in network marketing and I was doing all the things like my upline was telling me to do and spending time on all these different things and checking everything off. Like one thing that I didn't do is look at the list and say, okay, what are the things that I'm doing now that are actually bringing in the income?
Yeah. You know,
focusing on those things, because there are times where like, I especially like going out and doing events. I loved doing events. That was a great way to meet people and all of that. But I would take any event that I could get into, I would do it. And at first, like that's okay to get going and stuff like that. But after a few years, when I was doing that, I was looking, I'm like, okay, I just spent 10 hours with drive time, setting up, takedown, all of that. And I made like $30. Like that now is not really worth the time that it takes to do that. And I don't think as network marketers, that's not something that's being taught to like analyze and look back and say, okay, is this activity that I just did, is that worth it? And is it something that I need to continue doing? Do I need to keep this on my list or not?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we need to, I think we all go through phases where maybe we lose sight of it and we're human. Like these practices, these pillars that build high performance, they're not inherently difficult. High performers just do them more consistently. Mm-hmm. Seeking clarity is not more difficult. It's just asking questions, but high performers do them more frequently and more consistently. You know, like I love the example of how Oprah starts every meeting, which is what's our intention for this meeting? You know, everyone's getting on the same page. You're generating and seeking that clarity and then everything changes, right? It's not a difficult thing to do. They're just doing it more frequently and more consistently. And that's it. So we want to build this, I guess, this world where we either build triggers or whatever it is that when we do fall off course, we remember faster and we can course correct. because we're human. Like, you're not going to stay on the path every second of every day. And if you did, that probably wouldn't be too fun anyway.
Right.
But when we do stray too far away, we want to figure that out as soon as possible so that we can move back.
Absolutely. I love that. And it takes, like you said, asking those questions to make sure that we are going back on course. And what are some triggers that you do? I have some triggers that I use when I'm like, I can tell I'm like falling off the edge, you know, but like, what are some triggers that you use?
Yeah. Well, specifically with respect to what you just said, I think that a really good example is simply like having, so in corporate America, I'll use this to explain it. In corporate America, I worked in a company that had what we call an agile environment. That was the workflow that we worked through. And after a project would go live, you would have a retro, right? A retrospective meeting, like what went well, what didn't go well, what can we do moving forward? I think it's important to have those with yourself, right? Every couple months, whatever your time frame looks like. I'm a big believer in using triggers as silent phone alarms on my phone, or literally reminders in my calendar. Reminders in my calendar don't work as well for me personally. I know some people like to do it. I've tried. I'm not a fan of how they notified me in Google Calendar. Maybe I could just change that. But anything to keep it in front of us, right? When it's top of mind, then all of a sudden it becomes second nature to course correct. So with those retrospective ideas, like that would be time spent in the week. I know people that love to have like a weekly recap. Maybe like when you're mapping out your next week, you're also recapping beforehand what happened in the week before, what went really well, or maybe like what went better in the last month or the last quarter. Those type of environments that we can create for ourselves where we can really take the time to look back. One, you start to highlight what you sucked at, which is really, really good, right? Because then we know what we can improve on. If we don't know we sucked at it, we're going to keep sucking at it, and we're going to keep ourselves very far away from our goals. So the earlier that we can uncover that we sucked at it, the faster we could start to pivot and course correct and start to build the skill sets we need to develop so that we can become the person that deserves the income, or deserves the level of the downliner, deserves the level of the impact that we're seeking. So those are some things that work for me. I love silent alarms. I have like two or three every day that go off at certain times for different reminders. But yeah, I live and die off my Google Calendar. So I love to just block out the time.
Yep. The things you said, that's exactly what I do too. And I love the reminders on my phones. There's an app that I love that helps. It's like a gratitude journal. So it helps me stay in that like mindset of having gratitude every day, you know, and my phone updated, and for about 4 months, the reminder never popped up. I set like three different reminders, it still never popped up, and I was horrible about getting onto it. But then like 2 weeks ago, my phone updated again, and now all of a sudden the reminders are back, and I like haven't missed a day, you know? So
that's awesome.
Just like, even though it was something like I got in a habit of, I was doing it, but then when the reminder stopped, like having those little reminders that you set for yourself are so important because it makes you actually do it, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so important. Like, I don't know, I'm similar. I fall into a rut when either I stopped being intentional about what that reminder was for, you know, and I fall into the practice of just pressing close every time, or I fall into a rut when I'm not seeing it all the time. Like, I'm very much that person that I need to keep things in front of me if they will get done. And when they're in front of me, they get freaking done. But if they're not in front of me, they might not. Cause we got a lot going on.
Right.
And I don't know, call it bad memory, call it whatever, but like, you got to learn how you work and keep it in front of you. And I'm similar about the reminders.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, how can people get more information from you, learn more about you, if they want to connect with you, kind of find out more about becoming a high performer? How is the best way that people can reach out to you?
Yeah, the best place is the podcast, honestly. I run a podcast called the Results Engine Podcast. So wherever you guys are listening to this, it'll be on all major channels, all major podcast platforms. And basically, I'm interviewing a lot of the top performers everywhere, people that we've all been looking up to in whatever industry, on Instagram or on social media. And really dissecting the journey, the highs and the lows, taking the perspective from the highs, but the lessons from the lows on how it, what it took to get back to the highs. And if you guys loved the, if you like the, like the kind of like the tactical stuff we talked about with productivity, we're releasing some solo episodes starting February, early February. So we're, I don't know, it's like mid-January in this recording. So by the time it comes out, it might already be live, but those will be solo episodes. We'll be doing three uploads a week. Really, really fired up about that. Really like nitty gritty tactical stuff, what it takes to actually drive the needle forward in life and business. So that's the best place. But if anyone has questions, I'm just at Mike Sesniak on Instagram, and all social media platforms is Mike Sesniak. So happy to connect with people. If they have questions, I answer all my DMs and all that sort of stuff.
Awesome. We'll make sure that we link to all those in the show notes. And it has been such a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Brooke, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I had so much fun with that interview with Mike. He has so many great information to share with all of you. So make sure you go and check him out and see what he's all up to. His podcast is amazing. He has some great people that he's interviewing that will really help you if you're looking to step up your game and really be a high performer in your business. Maybe you want to make it to the next rank level. Maybe you want to make it all the way to the top. And how you do that is through consistency. That's the biggest thing. So focusing on those things that are most important, that are the income producing activities, and being consistent at doing those, and continually to look back and look at the things that you're doing. And are these the things that are moving the needle the most? And if they are, continue doing them. And if they aren't, then there are things that you can get rid of, and don't feel guilty for getting rid of them. That's one thing I struggled with for a long time, that it's like, well, but what if it worked just a little bit? Don't fall into that trap. Only work on the things that move the needle the most. Pick those top three and continue to look and make sure those three things that you're doing every single day are the things that are moving the needle the most. So thank you guys so, so much for listening. Make sure you take some of the things that Mike has taught you and start applying it into your business. And we'll see you guys all on the next episode. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Authentic Influencer Podcast, I want to invite you to check out socialtenacity.com/secret. The Authentic Influencer Secret Society is the fundamental resource for anyone at any stage of starting, growing, and leading a network marketing business. Whether you're still trying to figure out how to get your name out there to get noticed, or you already have a growing business and you're looking for ways to train your team and get more customers, the Authentic Influencer Secret Society can help you get to the next level. With our extensive course library, monthly implementation guides, exclusive member-only discounts and perks, and a supportive community to help you get all the feedback and encouragement that you need, the Authentic Influencer Secret Society is a perfect place for anyone that is looking to grow a successful network marketing business. So check out socialtenacity.com/secret. This has been an episode of the Align Your True North podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you are not a member of our free community, you can join us at www.opsyachtclub.com. This is a free community where we post job opportunities. Inside the community, we have trainings on how to structure your packages so you can serve your clients better, help you to know how to do discovery or strategy calls, and give you ideas of where to find your next client. We would love to have you part of our community, so you can join at www.opsyachtclub.com. Can't wait to see you there.